You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Colossians 1 verse 3, we're in a series going through the book of Colossians, speaking about the sufficiency of Christ. I'm not a big sports guy, but when it comes to the Olympics, I seem to get a little bit patriotic. And so watching England compete within the Olympics, one of the things that I liked to watch was the cyclists, and as they kept winning gold and all of this stuff, and hearing one of the interviews of the guys. So when it comes to cycling, how many know you, England dominated it. They just dominate cycling. They're like, you know, they just dominate it. But one of the things the head coach, as they were talking about, that they're asking him, what is his strategy? How has he been able to build this strategic team that is so successful? And one of the things he says is that we just homed in on little things. Little things. And he actually said, just like teaching people to wash their hands better. Like, now, come on, you're cycling. What's that got to do with anything? Washing your, he says, because if they wash their hands better, they're less likely to get germs and actually get sick and actually miss training days. So they'll be fitter. And so he's gone into all these tiny things, tiny little things about how they hold the handlebars and thing. And he says, all of these little things, if these little things add up, really it makes a difference. And so I was thinking about this, is that sometimes there's things that we deem as little, but they make a big difference. When we look at Paul's life, remember we did that the first sermon within this series, I did the maps and this screen was shaking and everything like that, still shaking. But we looked at the great things that Paul has done. If you know your Bible at all, most of the New Testament letters were written by this guy, Paul. If you see where Paul pioneered church, this guy's a pioneer, he's a missionary. He done great things for God. How did he do these great things? How was he used greatly by God? How many here you want God to use your life? I want God to use my life to do great things. People are lost without Christ. And so I want God to use my life. And so I want to look at one of the spiritual qualifications that is easily overlooked about Paul's life. And that's what we want to look at today. And so Colossians 1 verse 3, if you've got it, follow along. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. Send your anointing. We desperately need your anointing here today. Father, save the lost, please, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I want to preach a sermon called An Attitude of Gratitude. One of the key things that I think many people overlook about Paul, he is a great missionary, he is a great theologian, he is a great pastor, he's a great orator, God used his life powerfully, but one of the things that we can easily overlook is that Paul always shows an attitude of gratitude. He always seems to be saying, I thank. In our text, we see it from the very beginning, he says, we give thanks to God. And this is how he goes through. Look, let me read some scriptures here. I'm just going to machine gun these scriptures out. Romans 1 verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4, I thank my God always concerning for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Philippians 1 verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Philemon 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always. You could keep reading on and on and on. One of the distinctive things about Paul's life is that he had an attitude of gratitude. He was always saying thank you. He was always saying thank you to God. This is how he is. Where did he get this from? Where did he get this characteristic, this quality from? I believe he got it from Jesus. Luke 22 verse 19. And he took bread gave thanks and broke it. And you can read on. This is Jesus. Jesus was someone who gave thanks. This is a spiritual quality, just like prayer. Now, if we know, we're going through this series on prayer. We've been talking about, how many know prayer is important? Come on, prayer is important. Prayer as a Christian, if you don't pray, you're dead. That's it. As simple as that. If you don't pray, you're going to be carnal as the day is long. You got to pray. I'm not going to start doing MC Hammer, pray just to make it today. We got to pray. Some of you don't know who that is, but don't worry about it. Amen, you know it. Amen. I'm not going to do the shuffle or anything like that. But that's the reality. We have got to pray just to make it today. But the thing is this. Just as we know prayer and Bible and holiness are spiritual qualities, can I tell you today, so is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a spiritual quality. Being appreciative is a spiritual quality. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, therefore exhort first of all that supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all men. It's all in the same category. Supplication, prayer, intercession. He's speaking about spiritual qualities, things that you have to do. Must pray to God, go before God, intercede for others to God. But he also says within that, you need to be someone who is thankful. Gratitude is going to affect your worship. And that's why we know it's spiritual. Thanksgiving is linked to your worship. Psalm 79:13. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praises with all generations. You cannot worship without being thankful. Jesus says this, God the Father is looking for a specific type of person. God is looking for specific types of people. What he means by that is that when we do certain things, God gets involved. God, a certain dynamic of God getting involved. And Jesus says, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is, nowhere in the Bible says that God is looking for Christians. Didn't say that in the Bible, does it? It doesn't, there's no, you can't show me that scripture. It doesn't exist. What he's looking for is worshipers. People that worship God. Because you and I were made for worship. There's something in us that is inherent. We worship things. You, every single person here is worshiping something. Every single person here. That is just who you are. This is why football teams and sports stars and movie stars and all of these people can easily move crowds. Have you ever wondered why? What is the fascination about this? That so many people will go to watch one thing. Because we are all looking for somebody to worship. We were made for that. When God designed us, he made us to worship him. For you to be all that God designed you to be is to be a worshiper. That's what he's looking for right now. He's looking for a worshiper. Has he found one in you? Has God found what he wants in you? Are you a worshiper? Pastor, I'm a Christian. That's good. Are you a worshiper? I attend church now and again. Good. Are you a worshiper? That is what he's looking for. You cannot be a worshiper without thanksgiving. You cannot be a worshiper without an attitude of gratitude. Ephesians 5 verse 19. This is what Paul speaks and tells us this is how we should behave. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is, the Bible is telling us how we should live, what we should do. Reason why I said in the beginning is that we can overlook this, because if someone said, you know what, I'm smoking crack, we'd be like, hey, you can't do that. You can't be smoking crack. How many know that's what we, how many know that? You're looking at me like, maybe, I'm not sure. Listen, man, come on, it's January now, start. Don't touch the crack. But what about, do we look at ourselves? And so right now, we may be living morally clean. We don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't rave, we don't do none of that. Okay, good. But is there an attitude of gratitude in us? Because this is what the Bible is saying, is that we need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to say, you know what, I'm thankful. That all of these scriptures, Paul kept saying, I'm so thankful, I'm thankful, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for you, I'm thankful. You should give thanks for all men at all times. He keeps telling us this. It affects your worship. God is not just looking for songs to be sung. You could have come in today, you could have the best voice, and you sung the best today. But this is the beauty about God. God don't really focus in on your voice. He passes through all that, and he looks at you, and he listens to your heart. When you come to church, does your heart worship God? Some people don't even sing. Listen, if you can't even sing in the house of God, I don't know what's going on in your mind. I'm just going to put it out there. Because if you can't even sing in the house of God, the Bible tells us to sing. I read the scripture. Let me read it again because I don't know what to say. Pastor, you're just making up your own things. Ephesians 5 verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is why when we come together, we put on this worship. Because the Bible tells us, commands us to sing unto God. This is why we have something so different than any other religion. Because God actually designed and loves when his people come together and will lift him up through song. There's something about it. But also, what God is looking at is looking deeper into our hearts. See, when somebody doesn't have an attitude of gratitude, when somebody is not thankful, we call it an ingratitude or unthankful. These are people that cannot worship. And it actually, the Bible shows us something quite serious about ingratitude or unthankfulness. This is not just, well, I don't do it, you know. Now, this is going to open you up to a whole other thing. Let me read a scripture here. Romans 1 verse 21. Now, let me give you some background to the book of Romans. I mean, it's deeper on a Wednesday, so I love it. I love this Wednesday service. The book of Romans, in the beginning, it describes how mankind has fallen into sin. So this is why we get the scriptures like, every man is sin and fallen short of the glory of God. We get that. That's Romans. In the beginning of Romans, he speaks about, when you're reading it, he speaks about how man is sinful. He cannot save himself. The progression is how man cannot save himself through his own religion, his own pagan behavior. Man cannot save himself through his own righteousness. And what it does is, in Romans, it starts to speak about the decline of mankind. It speaks about why mankind is wicked, why there is homosexuality, why there is perversion and murder and rape. It speaks about why all of these things have come in. And this is the scripture. If people say, why is the world the way it is? Why is things like that? If there's a God, why is it like this? Romans 1:21 explains exactly that. It is the answer for those questions. Because although they knew God, this is man's original condition. He knew God. They did not glorify him, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The Bible says this, that man, obviously in the beginning, had relationship with God, but he stopped glorifying God. He was no longer thankful to God. And his own mind and heart started to think of things that were not what God wanted him to do. And he starts to move away from that. And the Bible says that they started to worship the creation rather than the Creator. They started to worship the creation rather than the Creator. That describes the world we live in today. People worship music. God made music. People don't worship the Creator, they worship the creation. People worship man or woman. That's what people worship, sex. God made sex. God designed sex. God wants you to have as much sex as you want in marriage. Don't worry, we're going into the love life series, so we're going to beef up those amens. We're going to deal with those amens. But that's it, God. But what man does, what man always does is he takes what God gives him and he makes that, he starts to worship the creation rather than the Creator. But our scripture says, why, you know, explains why mankind falls is that before everything goes wrong with mankind, the first thing we see is he did not glorify him as God. He would not give him the glory. And the second thing, he was not thankful. See, when you stop becoming thankful, this is the beginning of your downward path. This is the beginning of your mind becoming futile. What that means is your mind will start to talk and think things that make no sense. I see this all the time. I speak to young guys all the time, and they're talking about this road like, you don't make no sense, brother. You don't make no sense at all. It's always a chicken head. You don't make no sense. Your mind is futile. Living for the nonsense that's around you here, caring what someone thinks and says, and this ends and that ends, and the color of those bins and these bins. People's minds become futile. You cannot see what is really there. The Bible says not just futile, is that their hearts become darkened. Now there are things in you that you can't get pleasure out of normal things anymore. This is why, this is the origin of homosexuality. That man cannot find just fulfillment in a woman. But let me start with, this is how it goes. God made it for one man and one woman, and man would be satisfied. Adam was made, he saw Eve. He said, oh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This woman is nice. Whoa, man. Okay, that's it. Now, man is not fulfilled with one. You know why? Because most men have looked at too much pornography. Too much pornography. So now normal women get old. Normal women, they don't wake up with makeup on. No. Praise God for the makeup. Praise God. We ain't against that. We ain't against that at all. You got to work with what you got. But listen, bro, you better realize she don't wake up like that. And the married men, I'm not even going to make them say amen. They just know. We just smile at each other and be like, yeah, we know. I know what you're talking about. But what it is now man has to have many women. But now many women is not satisfying enough. So now man wants, I've tried one woman. My heart was darkened. So now many women, that's still not fulfilling me. What about man? What about man? Listen, we got kids in here, but sometimes we just got this deeper. We got to do. People have gone to animal bestiality. Some people, they want to be beaten, locked up, chained up. It's like hold up. No. There's nobody locking nobody up in here. The problem is this. The Bible says because they were no longer thankful, their hearts become darkened. I can't be fulfilled. People, when I got saved, I was no longer taking drugs. I was no longer getting high. I was no longer getting drunk. I was no longer doing crimes. I was no longer abusing women. And my friend said to me, what are you going to do now then? What? Like, that's all you can live for? Like, some people, if you take away the sin, it's like, what am I going to live for? Heart has been darkened. And we could go on and on and on and on and on about the debaseness of man and the wickedness. As me and my wife will come in here, we listen to the radio. We always catch the news as we're driving. We've got an hour and so journey. And so we're listening to the news. And they were talking about these two, we didn't even hear the end of it, but these two teenage girls stole a toddler in Newcastle in the Primark. Like, what makes people steal people's kids? Let me just throw this out here. Listen, you need to keep hold of your kids, man. Don't let nobody... I said to my wife, listen, when it comes to kids, I don't trust nobody. I don't know you. I don't trust nobody. And I want to say, let me just put this out there. In this church, we have an open door policy. That means we always want visitors coming in. But what that also means is there's every service, there's people in here we don't know. We don't vouch for them. We're not suspicious, but we're diligent when it comes to your children. Please, I say that because I'm your pastor. I love you and I love your children. You can't just let your children run around anywhere in here. Please, always keep them in supervision. But anyway, that was like a public announcement. It wasn't even in my sermon, but think about this now. This unthankfulness, it corrupts us. When I read this, I was astounded that, wow, something that I've, if I'm honest, something that I've overlooked, like unthankful. That if I see someone unthankful, they're just rude. God's like, no. It's a spiritual deficiency. Something is not right when people are unthankful. Unthankful people are blind. They're blind to what's going on around them. Unthankful people can only have their eyes on themselves. They are self-centered. They cannot see what others are doing around them. They cannot see what others have done for them. Unthankfulness will affect everything around you. When you're unthankful, it will destroy families. We have a generation of unthankful people, unthankful to parents. Listen, unthankful to those around them. Woe to you if you marry someone who's unthankful. Okay. Okay, you be praying for the rapture. It affects your life. I want to say this. A small change can make a big difference. A small change can make a big difference. You know they say if you exercise like 30 minutes a day, like do some exercise 30 minutes a day, it can radically change certain people's health. Some of you here, you know, it could really, if you just exercise 30 minutes a day, some of you are like, 30 minutes, Pastor? Woo, going a bit too far, aren't you? 30 minutes a day. You know that's less than 2% of your day? You think there's 24 hours in a day. There's 24 hours in a day. Just do a little bit of exercise, a bit of brisk walking, something going on. A small thing can make a big difference. I want to say an attitude of gratitude can keep you spiritually healthy. Our Bible tells us that. They became unthankful and they fell away. That means if I can keep up this spiritual discipline of being thankful, if I can have an attitude of gratitude, it can change things in my life. I want to give you three things where an attitude of gratitude should be evident in our lives and how you get this attitude of gratitude. One, the way you look at life. You need to look at life as a gift and not a right. Life is a gift. It's not a right. In the Western world, we live, our rights. It's my rights. That's how we are with our rights. Okay, but life is a gift. You know, there's that old adage, it may sound a bit corny, but let me repeat it. You know, they say that, you know, the past is gone, the future's not here, and that's why right now is called the present. Because this is all you got. And so the reality is, life should be seen as a gift. It's not a right. How many know? No, none of us here promise tomorrow. This is a gift that we have right now. It's not a right. If you can look at life like that, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, thanks be to God for this incredible gift. Romans 6 verse 23, we know it. The wages of sin is death, but what does it say? The gift of God is eternal life. And so we need to understand that life is a gift. It's not a right. Listen, the time you have with your parents is a gift. They're not always going to be here. Some people in the church have already lost parents. Some people have lost parents very young. Maybe in their 20s. It's hard for them. But some people have lost even younger. My mom grew up without. My mom and uncle, they grew up. Their mom died of cancer. My uncle found his mom lying in the bed. He was only like a little kid. Some people, their parents died, you know, at birth and all of these things. And so we can say, well, you know, whether it's in my 30s or my 40s, it was hard to lose and all of these things. But while you have them, that's a gift. What about a spouse, a loved one? None of us know how long we're going to have together. I thank God for the years that I've had with my wife. But I don't know if I've got another 10, 20 years. One of us can go before the other. It would be lovely if we both lived into our 80s and then 90s. And then we were just one day praying, morning prayer. God just said, send an angel. You're coming home now. No problem. Let me just text one of the guys. Guy, I won't be here Sunday. Yeah, bro. Just take over the church. Amen. And we go. But and thank God, I hope that happens for some of you. But not all of us, that's going to happen. Because every day we have together is a gift. It's not a right. You're not promised those things. It's a gift. There are people in our fellowship, that have already, younger than me, and they've lost their spouse. Younger than me, and they've lost their spouse already. Every day you have, whether you have your spouse for 5 years or 55 years, we don't know how long we've got together, but those years were a gift. What about children? Losing a child. There's pastors in our fellowship who have lost their children. I hope to God that every single one of you, that your child would outlive you. Nobody wants to bury a child. Every day you have with your child, it's a gift. It's a gift. You need to see it that way. It's a gift. Thank God for these children. Thank God that I have them. See, what I'm talking about here is that we would develop an attitude of gratitude. If we would get up in the morning and be like, listen, thank God we got another day together to do some stuff. And I could go on and on about it, but the gist of it, first one, is life is a gift, it's not a right. The second thing, you need to remind yourself of what you have and don't be distracted by what you don't have. If you want to have an attitude of gratitude, you need to remind yourself of what you have and not what you don't have. Some of you here, maybe you're miserable because you're single. And don't worry, I'm not going to diss you. I was a bit miserable when I was single. For a little bit. Just keeping it real. But can I tell you today, look at what you do have. If you have your sight and your hearing, you can walk around and go places. You have a job, you have food, you have a house. You know how cold it is out there today? Do you know how cold it is? You know there are some people sleeping on the street tonight? All the time I say to my wife, you know, I thank God I have a car. I thank God I have a house. Like, those are things people might overlook. But I thank God I have those things. I opened the fridge. I said, you know, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because can I tell you, I was in my 20s and I never had those things. I never had a car. I was in my 20s. I never had nowhere to live. I had to sleep on brothers' floors in the church. The pastor goes, bro, can I coach in your house? One guy's house, his mom never really liked our church. And he said, listen, you can come stay in the house, but you need to sneak in. And so he would go and say, hey, mom, how you doing? Yeah, you're fine in the front room. And I would go behind him and sneak up the stairs. And then I'd have to get up early in the morning, quickly go and have a bath and have a shower and sneak out of the house. And don't come back until nighttime. I never had nowhere to stay. No job, no car, nowhere to stay. This is why now I thank God. Listen, you need to be grateful for what you have. You have a parent, they're stressing you out a bit. You know, parents can stress us out. Thank God you've got your parents still. Thank God. They're nagging you, moaning at you. When are you going to get married? When are you going to get a job? When are you going to do? Oh, why are you making at me? Yeah. Thank God that you have parents that care for you. Some people don't. They've never had that. And you're married. Oh, this husband. Listen, I ain't even going to go down there. You wanted him. I'm not even going to go into that one. That's your own fault. This woman. You wanted her. There are so many things some of us don't have. We may not have the money we want. You may not have the child you want. You may not be married. You may not have this. You may not have that. Can I tell you, you need to start looking at what you do have. You need to start looking at what you do have and be thankful for what you do have. Because what this world, let me say this now, this is how this world works. This world makes things because this world is all about money and glorifying man, and it's Antichrist. So this world will make things. It will make something, but then to make you buy it, it's got to convince you that you are missing out because you don't have this. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I've been caught in this thing, man, because I keep buying iPhones. Every iPhone, I keep getting an upgrade, the next one. And I'm like, hold up, these iPhones are not getting no better. At one time, they were getting better. See, they're better than Samsung. We know that one for straight. We know that one. I'm not even going there. Samsung is like Al-Qaeda phone. You know that, ain't it? Al-Qaeda. Chichi-Qaeda. It's something Qaeda. Samsung Qaeda. When I was coming back from LA, they said, if you've got a Samsung GS, could you please report it? I was like, no, thank God I got iPhone, man. But the point I'm making, you know, I'm making jokes about it. It's nothing wrong with wanting new things. But sometimes the way the world is designed is that it brings out new things and it tells you the thing you've got is rubbish. This is what you need. You need this new thing. And so you start to look at your new jacket. You wanted that jacket. 6 months ago, you was begging for that jacket, saving up for that jacket. Now you got it. I hate this jacket. I need that jacket. I don't want this bag. I hate this bag. I need that bag. Oh, these trainers, these shoes. I need those. And then we keep going on like that. I think it was on Outreach the other day, one of the brothers said, oh, Pastor, I like your jacket, man. I said, yeah, I've had a jacket. Well, how long you had it? I said, oh, about 2-3 years. 2-3 years! 2-3 years! Yeah, I'm going to keep it. When I buy something, I just got to keep it long, man. Till it wears out. I look at things that my wife will tell you. We've been to the shop. I was looking at getting one of these fleece things for the winter. I wore it today, like a North Face kind of fleece thing. I went in that shop, no word of a lie, my wife will tell you, 20 times, re-looking at it. Not sure. Let me see back. Let me try on that. Yeah, all right. I don't know. I'll come back. My wife, the last time I went in, I'm not coming in there with you. I said, babe, I've got to research. Because once I buy it, it's got to last. Everything's got to last. But seriously, church, you've got to start to look at what you've got, not what you don't have. Sometimes, you know, I can be a little bit, I'm like a mad scientist. I experiment on myself sometimes, but I will look in my house and I will see things that I've got And I'd be like, you know, God, I'm so thankful that I have this. I'm so thankful. And because what I pray for daily is a renewed gratitude for old things. I don't need to get new things all the time. I want a renewed gratitude for old things. I want to look at my car and be like, thank God, I love this car. I want to look at my, thank God I got this. And then, but we're not even, those are the silly things, it's easy. But you need to look at your wife. Look at your kids. Every day you should just, thank God for these children. Thank God for my spouse. Think about this now. Most people here, you love your spouse. Imagine your spouse becomes sick. And they're in the hospital. I've said this before, but they're in the hospital. There's nothing they can do. They're like, boy, it's critical. And you say, Pastor, can you come around and pray for my spouse? Let's go around. So a few of us guys, we go around and we pray. The doctor said they're going to die tonight. We pray, resurrected. They're back. Think of how grateful you'd be. Oh, or if that was a child. Think of how grateful you'd be. You'd be crying. You'd be weeping. You'd come to church. You'd lift them up on the stage. I want to testify to what God has done. I'll never leave Jesus. He's so faithful. Think about this story now. Do you have to... So you're saying if your spouse was that sick or your child was that sick, and then they came back well, then you'd be grateful. But right now, there are people here, your spouse is well, and your children are well, and you're ungrateful. Does God have to make somebody get sick, near to death, bring them back before we appreciate what we've got? Can we not just have a level of life and every day to say, you know, I'm grateful I can get out of my bed, I can see, I can hear, I can go to the job, I can work. I'm not rich, but you know what? Praise God. Maybe I will be, maybe I won't, but thank God what I've got. Let me tell you this, and this is not hype. This is how I feel. If God never gives me another thing more other than Jesus, I am grateful. If he doesn't do anything else for me, then he saved me. I see everything else as a bonus. The last thing. Three things. Look at life as a gift. Not all right. Look at what you've got, not what you don't have. Always look for ways to show gratitude to the people in your life. Always look for ways to show gratitude for the people in your life. There's not one person here right now that you got here by yourself. I mean, I don't mean geographically to the church. I mean, in your life, somewhere, somehow, somebody helped you along the way. There's someone somewhere that loves you. And you, Pastor, you don't know my... I know some people have gone through, they've been abandoned, they've been kicked out, they've been everything, they've been there. Well, one thing I'll say this. If you're here today, you found a church that loves you. We're not perfect, we're not Jesus, but we will love you. And we will help you and speak the truth to you and try and help you the best we can. None of us are without somebody that we could show gratitude to. Listen, if you would exercise just a gratitude, always being thankful. Parents, you should always be thankful to your children. Teach them this principle. Teach them that. Show them that you're so grateful for them, to God for them. You teach them this principle. My mom taught me at a very young age always to say please and thank you. Sometimes I've seen parents, they don't teach their kids that now. You need to teach your kids, say please and thank you. You're just giving them stuff. Yeah, give me. And you give it. No, I'll give you something, but that's a whole nother sermon. Praise God, it's on the tape, so they just heard it. That's why I left it blank. Think about this now. What about children? Could you show gratitude to your parents? I know some of us haven't had the best parents. But most people here, you've had at least one parent that's tried to do right by you. What about your spouse? Are you grateful to your spouse? I always say this, my wife can testify. Anything my wife does for me, I always show her gratitude. Every meal that my, I can't even count how many meals she's given me now. But it doesn't go by without me saying thank you and appreciating everything she does for me and her to me as well. She'll always show her appreciation to me for everything I do. What about your brothers and sisters in Christ, showing them appreciation? What about the Bible? When we're going to start the Bible study leader, what about after the Bible study, saying to the Bible study, that was an excellent study. That really helped me. Thank you for that. The praise and worship team, thank you. You know what? That the way you did it, something really helped us to worship. The ushers, you know, we really appreciate you. You're outside missing the service. The children workers, do you show, every time you pick up your child, do you show them appreciation? You know, we really do thank you for doing this. You're missing the service. Sometimes they're up there during revivals. They'd love to be down here. Pastor Carnegie's coming. Pastor Peter's coming. They want to be down here, but they're up there missing out. I know you can listen on tape, but thank God for tapes. Come on. It's not the same, is it? But they're up there. Do you show them appreciation? Do you thank them? Pick up the chat. You know, thank you. Appreciate that. Be blessed. I want to show you, if you are this person that you could show gratitude, you will attract more people to you. You will build stronger bonds of friendship. You will build stronger people around you. When you encourage people, when you give gratitude to people, it helps them, it strengthens them. There's something about it. You listen, it's so easy to criticize. I saw this little clip on the BBC website. They blew up this 18 blocks of flats. 18, like basically they blew up like Winstanley. Surrey Lane. Imagine they blew up the whole thing. It was old. People weren't in it. But not trying to terrorist madness. Yeah, they blew it up. They demolished it. That's the word. Demolition. They were doing demolition. And they just like that. They blew it up. They said, boom. And it was gone. And as I watched it, Spirit of God said, see how easy it is to break things. Because that took years to build. Building takes longer than blowing up. Pulling down is easy. Maybe some of you here, you're good at pulling things down. Any fool can pull things down. It takes a builder and an architect and someone with vision to build things up. Any fool can see, listen, brother, any fool can see the flaws in his wife. It's a good and wise husband that can see things that he can show gratitude. Listen, women are good at this. They can pull, women are good at their mouth. You know that, innit? You know that, innit? You just know that. But that mouth could lift up. That mouth can build him. Yeah, you don't know him. Yeah, but that's why he'll never get anywhere, sister, because you just won't. Yeah, but I'll see everything. I know, but come on, it must be subtle. At least his body temperature keeps the bed 1 centigrade warmer than. Thank God that your body is not deadly cold. There's something you can say. Life is a gift, not a right. Remember what you have. Don't be distracted by what you don't have. Always look to show gratitude to people around you. See, God moves in prayer. We preached it on Sunday. But the text I used was Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. And we said God moved. But it also says this, praying and singing hymns. They weren't just praying, they were actually grateful. There was a worship there. There was something, they could be in a prison, locked up in a thing, but they could still come before God and bring worship. That's when God moves. You've been praying, praise God. That's one step of it. It's good to be praying. Now, add gratitude to your prayer. God will move. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.